right, good morning. Welcome to Independent Bible Church of Duryea. If you would stand with me for our first song, 520, Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. 520, Redeemed. Service. So good to see you folks out here. Hard to believe that just a week ago was Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. We praise the Lord for a full week last week with our Easter cantata, sunrise service, all the things that went on. We're glad to have you back here this morning. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll let you stay seated. You know, there is no choir today, so where you see choir here right on the bulletin, I'm going to make an announcement about next week, the special services, Revival with Barry Webb. And so I'll do it at that point. We'll come back for a song. I'll come back with a few more announcements from the bulletin, so just keep that in mind. More than normal this morning, but for a good cause. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord. What a beautiful day today. We thank you for holding off the rain yesterday, for all the work that was accomplished outdoors as well as indoors on the work day, Lord. Thank you, Lord, again for it's been a busy month, but it's been a good month, Lord. I pray that we are busy for the things of the Lord. And Lord, that we can say, well done, Lord. We can hear you say, well done one day, as we've been faithful, Lord. And whatever you've given us to do, our task to do, may we do it faithfully. Lord, we thank you for the good amount of visitors we've had in recent services, Lord, with the cantata, with our services on Easter, Resurrection Day. Lord, I pray that it would never get old when we see visitors and greet folks and get excited about bringing people and inviting them and sharing the gospel. Lord, I pray there'd be an excitement this week as we look forward to the special services, Lord, evangelistic services, revival services with Evangelist Barry Webb and his wife. Lord, we're praying for him to know exactly what to preach each and every night, that he would know your will. We pray for strength for them and safety as they travel. We pray for this church, Lord, that we would be determined to come, to attend, and Lord, for you to speak to our hearts in whatever area we need, Lord, to draw closer to you. Lord, if there's folks that aren't saved, that we'd see souls saved, we'd expect that. Lord, there'd be an excitement, Lord, in this church that would carry on, Lord, not just for a day or two or a week or two, but forever, Lord, until you come again. Lord, we thank you that we can sing redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I pray each one here today has been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're excited tonight for the baptisms of those that are following you, Lord, that next step of obedience. We pray that tonight would be an encouraging night. Lord, a night of just rejoicing over these that have trusted Christ and are now identifying with you publicly, Lord, your death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, we ask that all that's done today in this service, the preaching of the Word of God, the singing, the fellowshipping, Lord, the children's church, the nursery, all that's done, Lord, we'd be done in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd be serving you, Lord, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, and you would receive the glory. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I think at this time we're coming back to a hymn that many of you probably do not know, number 147. Amazing Grace. All right, Amazing Grace.
All right, you can remain seated for now as we sing the first three verses, and then we'll stand eventually for the last two verses. and sing that next verse.
Amazing grace. I hope that never gets old. All right, again, glad to have you here today. Good singing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for all that's already been accomplished this year. But Lord, we're also thanking you for all that's going to be accomplished both today in this service, tonight in the service, and in the days ahead. Lord, we want to attempt great things for you, and we want to expect great things for you. We want to, Lord, give to you cheerfully, knowing that, Lord, what we give, you will, Lord, use and multiply it many, many times, Lord, for you are able. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to give back to you, a great and gracious giving God. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Our last hymn this morning is 157. It's three verses. Grace greater than our sin. It's hard to sing this hymn sitting down, so if you would stand with me. 157, grace greater than our sin. Second verse with me. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there's flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. The instruments are not going to be playing with us as we sing, dark is the stain that cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? But they will come in on that exclamation, look, and it'll be glorious. So let's sing that a cappella, dark is the stain.
Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide.
Rejoice. draw me back to you. You see my heart, you know my name. You are my God, and faithful will remain. Lord, you've been faithful through all these years, through every joy, through every tear. You've kept your promises.
Amen. Again, glad to have you here today. Let's turn our Bibles to the book, the Gospel of John. John chapter 21, the fourth book of the New Testament. John chapter 21. Again, if you need a Bible, if you didn't bring one, left it in the vehicle, you turn in a pew Bible to page 1523. In the pew Bibles, page 1523, 1523. That'll get you to John 21. Now, it's 11:05. Always dangerous to mention time in a service. It's 11:05. We started the service at 10:30. We've already been in church, some would say, already for 35 minutes. Some would say, only 35 minutes. Think about, and again, not everybody can be here today. Some are traveling, some are serving, some are ministering, some are sick, some are under the weather, some are taking care of family, older folks, different things. We understand that. But think about if you could be at church and you didn't come today, even if you're just watching. You could have came. It's great to watch. We sang together as a local assembly, Redeemed. Amazing grace. Grace greater than our sin. And then we heard, Lord, you've been faithful. Already in just the music ministry, it should have already encouraged us and challenged us. And I mean, we should not sing grace greater than our sin and not think about God. We shouldn't be singing Amazing Grace, like, oh, that's one of the most famous songs of all time, and not thinking about God and how He saved a wretch like us, I hope, or me, personally. I hope we can sing Redeemed and mean it and know that it's God's for every single person. Look at the words. I hope that when He's saying, you've been faithful, you realize God has been faithful, He is faithful, He will be faithful, He cannot help but be faithful. That's who He is. And as the old saying goes, you can't break God's promises by leaning on them. So lean on them all you want. God's promises are always true. I'm thankful for that. Now, I pray today we've come to worship the Lord, and we can worship the Lord by how we receive the preaching of His Word. Open hearts, open minds, tender hearts. Say, God, speak to me today. God, if you don't speak to anybody in the building, you speak to me. God, change me today. Don't pray about change the husband, the wife, the children. Change me. God, you speak to me. You change me today. And God, whatever you show me, no matter how hard it may be, I'm going to walk in obedience today, whatever it is you are. If it's disobedience, if it's whatever it is, Lord, I will get that right today. I hope that we can do that and say that and mean that and be excited about that. For if the Lord convicts us as His children, it's for our good. It's for His glory. And I pray that we would welcome that. John 21 is where we're at this morning. John 21, for those who preach or have preached or pastored or have pastored, there's always that burden of what to speak on. I had about five things I was ready. I was ready. I mean, I was ready. I had a three-part Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night on Solomon.
I was ready for Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches. I was back and forth. I was in Deuteronomy 6 and 7, lest ye forget. I mean, I was like, Lord, I just need to show me which one of these you're writing, you're studying. I was ready to do a three on Elisha and Elijah that we barely got into Sunday school. And all that, and then the Lord, nope, close that door. No, nothing wrong with those. Close that door. I said, Lord, now I've got to have something for the people. I've got to have fresh bread, as the evangelist used to say. I want to bring fresh bread, not stale bread, not crusty bread, not bread that's falling apart, all right? It's got to be fresh, the Word of God. They've come, I hope, hungering today for the Word of God. And the Lord directed me to John 21. And again, it's easy to say, Lord, now wait a minute, are you sure? And the Lord said, you preach what I've laid on your heart. So we're in John 21, and I love John 21. I preached on it, probably not here, but I preached on it before. And I didn't go old notes, and go back and pull out old ones, all right? And so the Lord has this today. I'm excited to be able to preach it. I know I need it, and I trust you do as well. Let's read part of the story. John 21, 1 through 14. And obviously, this is a follow-up. It's the next chapter. It's the next story of what happened after the resurrection. Last week was Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, the empty tomb, the angels, he is not here, he is risen. Wow. And now this is the next chapter, John 21. Notice verse 1. After these things are chapter 20. He is risen. The tomb is empty. Mary Magdalene has seen him. The disciples have seen him. Thomas didn't believe. Thomas saw him. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now that's also the Sea of Galilee. Has different names. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter. You'll notice seven people here. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other unnamed disciples, probably Andrew, Peter's brother, and Philip, but we don't know. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. I'm going fishing, fellas. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. So please picture the scene. Now there's two stories in Scripture, and we'll look at both today. Very similar, but this is not the same story of the great catch of fish and all of that. The first one, Jesus was on the boat. This is after the resurrection. This is sometime probably between day 10 and day 40, between the resurrection and the ascension. Jesus has not been with his disciples. We'll talk about that. They have hardly seen him since he's resurrected. They don't even know where he's popping up next time. They go fishing, and you fish the Sea of Galilee almost always at night. At dark to the sunrise, that's when you fish. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, through the next morning at 6 or 7. That's when you catch the fish. It's almost like a sardine that they used to catch in the Sea of Galilee. But they didn't catch one thing. A wasted night. And it's the morning and they're pulling in their nets and they're getting ready to go to shore. And they're probably not too far away. Close enough you can see people, little specks, but not necessarily close enough to see who they are. The Bible says, verse 5, Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? You know what he's asking, right? Did you catch any fish? Hey, how's fishing? Did you catch any fish? You got any meat? They answered him just the way you would answer when you're upset. No. Right? You never advertise your fishing because everybody's going to, did you get? No, nothing. You went hunting? No, just good. Did you get your driver's license? No. Yeah, be careful when you advertise those things, right? Everybody's going to ask you about it. No. Verse 6, and he said unto them, now remember, they don't know who it is. There's just somebody on the shore. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now, what would you do? Wise guy. Hey, throw the net on the other right side. You're going to catch fish there. Now, they don't know this, Jesus. Yeah. Verse 6 at the end, it says, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, That disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, the apostle John, the author of this story in this book, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, at that moment John said, that's Jesus. I love this story because the very next thing you hear is a splash, all right? Which is, that's Peter. Very impulsive, all right? Peter, next time you look, Peter's swimming. Hey, it's the Lord. That's Jesus. Now, when Simon Peter, I'm in verse 7, heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisherman's coat, so he had on an outer garment. He took that off, and he cast himself into the sea. I mean, he's swimming 100 yards, I have no idea, to the sea. He wants to be with Jesus. We like to give Peter grief, don't we? I'm out of here. That's where the Lord is. That's where I want to be. And he's swimming to shore. Verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. So here they come, pulling in, they can't pull the nets out. Verse 9, and as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. There's the fish, and it's ready to eat. And there's some bread, and everything's ready to eat. Remember, they haven't caught a thing all night. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're worn out. They're exhausted. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. Now they counted them all, didn't they? 153. Wow. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Come, sit, dine, fellowship. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Verse 14, this is now, notice, the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Let's talk about a few things here because there is, some folks don't seem to understand what life was like in the 40 days after Christ was risen until he ascended to heaven in Acts chapter 1. It was unlike any other time period when Jesus was with his disciples. So this story really won't make complete sense unless you understand the 40-day period of when Christ was risen on that Sunday, Lord's Day, and 40 days later when he ascended up into the clouds in Acts chapter 1. Now this is the only story really in between those two that sort of connects them. And the Holy Spirit puts us in here for a reason. Now, we know it was 40 days because in Acts chapter 1, you can flip the page, it says in verse number 3, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, Acts 1, 3, being seen of them 40 days. So we know that Jesus was on earth for 40 days, a month and 10 days after he resurrected. And yet very little is known about that. He did not travel around teaching and preaching. He did not travel around healing. He was not with his disciples, and they were not with him like before, traveling all during the day, night and day, sleeping together, eating together. He was not, as far as we can tell, at Mary, Martha, Lazarus' house. Christ was not visibly around people. And for the disciples, this was very difficult. Because yes, though they had failed and scattered in the garden, and yes, though Peter had denied him, and yes, so they were all weeping and crying and hidden in the room and not believing. And yes, then none of them were at the empty tomb. And even when they were told, they didn't believe. But even then, they got their hopes up. He's risen. The kingdom. This is what we're talking about. They killed him, but he didn't stay dead. This is going to be glorious, but not so. Where was the Lord at? He wasn't with them. He would just show up and then they would get scared, right? You can see that. Let your eyes go back to the end of chapter 20. When you go to the end of chapter 20, verse 19, it says, the same day at evening, meaning the first day of the week, this exact same day he was risen, when the doors were shut, Jesus stood in the midst of them. So remember, they're up there scared and all of a sudden, whoa, there's the Lord. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. But remember, Thomas wasn't there. You can see that in John 20, verse 24, John 20, 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them. Right? And when Thomas came back, Thomas, The Lord is alive. We've seen him. We've touched him. He's here. Remember, I'm not going to believe. I got to see it. I got to touch him. I'm not going to believe. Notice verse 26 of John 20. And after, what's the next two words? 8 days. 8 days since they've even seen Jesus. He's not with them. He's not sitting with them. I mean, after a little while, after a few days, you start wondering, did we really see him? Was that really him? Thomas saying, aha, see, where is he, fellas? Maybe you were just hallucinating. Maybe it was a ghost. You were emotional. It's a whole 8 days. And then the Lord appears again, and Thomas, but the Lord is not with them. He is not out and about. And for the disciples, this is a difficult time. They had been with him, at least for the most part, we don't know for sure, three and a half years, whether all 12 at the same time or he chose them in incremations. They were with him for almost 24/7. They were there, but now the Lord has risen and he's not around. And they don't know where he is. And he's not really, what are they supposed to do? It's very difficult. Think about this. Now, see if you can think of your own personal applications. After he was risen, he was alive, but they never knew when to expect him. They always had to be ready. They never knew when he would appear. He didn't necessarily tell them. They had to be expecting him and looking for them. And they were sort of in a flux, if you know what that word means, sort of in limbo, like, what do we do? I mean, he's alive, right? But where is he? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to stay hidden? Are we supposed to preach? Are we supposed to teach? Where's he at? What's he doing? Some have speculated that perhaps Christ looked a little different. Now, I don't know for sure. We know the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, didn't recognize them, and it said their eyes were holden. The disciples didn't recognize them on the shore. Maybe they were too far away. But even when they got here, isn't that interesting verse, John 21? Isn't that interesting verse, verse 12? When Jesus said, come and dine, why does it say none of the disciples dare or durst ask him, who art thou? But I think that's the Lord. It's got to be the Lord. They are not around him a whole lot. Maybe he looks the same, but not exactly. They're a little bit more on pins and needles. It's a time of uncomfortableness. He's risen, but why is he not around? What are we supposed to do? Is he going to stay here? Now, he's already warned us in John 14 that he's going to be leaving and sending the Holy Spirit, but did they understand that? And so I want to draw your attention to what is going on here. Christ is preparing them for the book of Acts in the future. I am not going to be with you. I am leaving. I am going back to my heavenly home. The Holy Spirit will be coming. You do not need me to be here in person. You won't know when I come. You need to be ready. I am going to be departing. You need to be ready. You need to be alert. And you need to be active. And you see that in Acts 1, right? When he ascends, and the angels say, "What, men of Galilee, what are you doing? Why stand you gazing? You're just going to stand around gazing? How about get busy? He's given you a commission. He's given you a mission. He's given you your last words. You have a job. You have a purpose. You have a task." And praise God for the book of Acts, that those men, they got busy, all right? But I want you to know that they were probably thinking what some of you are thinking when it comes to the Christian life. This isn't the way I thought it would be. This isn't the way it's supposed to work. I thought that when you get saved, glory, everything's going to just be pretty good and easy. It's not always. We're coming off of the high of Easter Sunday. Oh, man, Easter Sunday. I mean, the high mark for all believers. Wow, Resurrection Sunday. He's alive. He lives. We serve a risen Savior. Wow, glorious. He's coming again. Joy and joy. You think about that. And for many believers, that's sort of the way their life goes when it comes to their spiritual walk with the Lord. We think of last Sunday. Who wasn't smiling? Who's not excited? Who's not have bright Easter dresses, bright ties, birds and the flowers and the bees, and everything looks great, and the sun is shining, and it's Easter, and he's alive, and we rejoice, and we fellowship. Praise the Lord. How about this Sunday? How'd this week go? Were you excited today on this Sunday? Were you just excited? Is he not as much alive today as he was last Sunday? Can we not sing He Lives today? Do we only have to sing it last Sunday? Oh, are you, any excitement today? Any drudgery? A little tough week? Did you get as excited today? You think you'll be back tonight? Oh, what about next week? Oh, service all week. You think, well, many times as believers, we're like these disciples. We're like the calendar. It's Easter. Woo-hoo, glory to God. Victory, victory, victory. And then this last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, for many believers, defeat, 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 defeat. And you're right here with this little group of disciples, and like, I don't know, what are we supposed to do? Is this the way it's supposed to be? I mean, what are we going to do? I don't know what we're supposed to do. Are we supposed to follow the Lord? Are we supposed to do it? I don't know. And one guy says, you know what I'm doing? I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I used to do. And are you guys with me? I don't know about you, but I got to do something. I'm going fishing. Now, fishing's not a sin, is it? No comments. All right, some of you maybe. Better be careful to ask those rhetorical questions, all right? It's not a sin to fish. There's nothing wrong with fishing. There's nothing wrong with that. But however, here, we're talking about disciples here who have forsaken their old life, their old lifestyle, their old jobs, and have followed the Lord. And Peter's here at a point where many believers get when you come off of the high of getting saved. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Glory to God, I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven. I don't need to worry about hell. I'm praise the Lord, glory, woo! And you think that should be everything. You're like, whoa. Is this the way it's supposed to be? Why do I sometimes not want to come to church? Why do sometimes I don't want to sing? Why is it a struggle to even read the Bible? I don't even want to sometimes. I don't even like being nice to people. I mean, sometimes I just got to force the smile. I thought it was going to be easy. I thought it was going to be natural. I thought I'd have lots of friends and everybody would welcome it. I thought my job would be transformed. I thought that life would be great. I thought my marriage would be perfect. I thought the kids would get in line. Is this the way it's supposed to be? I thought it would sort of magically just, you know, everything would be great and life would be so much easier and I'd always walk on clouds. You say, but I got the same job I always had. And I've got family problems. And I've got bickering kids who won't listen. And I've got taxes and unpaid bills. And I've got health issues. And I've got aches and pains. And I've got tired and I get weary. And I've got sin and I've got my flesh. And I get temptations and I get grouchy. And I have my doubts and I get discouraged and I fail. And we got our country and all the problems and all the politics and all the things going on. And I was expecting things to be a lot different. And so were the disciples. So were these guys. And yet, Lord, where are you? What's going on? This is not how we thought it would happen. We thought that this is the way it would go. I mean, we wrote the book. This is going to be glorious. You're risen from the dead. We're going to go around and we're going to set up the kingdom. And it's going to be, what's going on? Where are you, Lord? Why are you not around us? And they're sitting around, and you know what's happening in John 21 here? The disciples don't have any purpose, do they? They're not doing anything. They're in a period of great uncertainty. They don't know what to expect. They want to know if the Lord has forsaken them. They want to know if perhaps they're beginning to doubt. Let's apply it. Maybe I'm not saved. You know, because if I was saved, I thought this is the way it was going to be. Maybe I'm not really saved. Maybe I'm not going to go to heaven. You know, I'm surely if I was really saved, these men are beginning to doubt. And they're beginning to wonder. I don't know where the other five disciples are. The other four, we know where. Why is there seven? I don't know. Jesus had told them in the end of Mark and the end of Matthew, Mark, to wait for them and wait for me in Galilee. That has to explain why they're in Galilee. He said, wait for me in Galilee, but he didn't tell when, where, how, or what. And they're just waiting in Galilee. Where is he? How come he's not around? And after a little while, like the Israelites with Moses, right? Where's Moses? He's not coming down. It's been 40 days. We got to do something. Aaron, let's go. All right? Where's the Lord? What's he doing? We're getting restless. We're getting uncertain. I got to do stuff. Peter, old Peter, right? Maybe the oldest. Certainly the most outgoing. Certainly what we would say a born leader. Certainly a man that's just hard to resist. I'm going fishing. Okay, we're in. We'll go with you, Peter. Let's go, guys. I'm going fishing. You know what? We have no record of Peter or the other men fishing since Luke 5 when they forsook it. Let's go back and look at that. Hold your spot right here. We'll come right back. Put a marker in there. Put a pen. Put the notes you're taking. Put the gum wrapper. All right. Luke chapter 5. The last time, now I'm not saying it's the last time we've seen Peter and the men on a boat. They traveled on boats a lot. They were in storms. Peter walked on water. They traveled often in boats, but we don't have a record of them fishing like they used to fish. We're not talking about recreational fishing. We're not talking about first day of the season, go out and catch some trout. We're not talking about catching fish for your food because your family needs food. We're talking about this was their job. This was their occupation. This was their life. This was their livelihood. They ate and breathed and lived fishing. That's all they knew. You can go back and read the Gospels that they had a fishing business, Peter, James, and John. That they worked for Peter, James, and John's father. That they were probably pretty successful and it was a pretty good business. And they were good at it. And they earned money at it. But when the Lord came along and called them, it appears that they followed him, but not full time, if you were to read the Gospels. They followed him, but maybe it wasn't full time. They followed him when he was in the area, then they fished. And they followed him, and they fished. And they took a few weeks off, but they kept coming back to fishing. And in Luke chapter 5, you have a clean break from fishing. Let's look at the story. Now, this story is probably 3 to 3.5 years before what we read in John 21. We're going back in time several years. Luke 5, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he, that's Jesus, stood by the lake of Gennesaret. That's the same place, the Sea of Galilee. You say, I don't understand why it's called by different names. Have you never lived on one side of a lake, a giant lake, and they call it this? And you're on the other side of the lake, and they call it this? And over there's another county? Absolutely. Sea of Galilee's big. Some call it the Sea of Tiberias, Romans. Some call it the Lake of Gennesaret, old timers. That's what it used to be called years ago. They changed it to Sea of Galilee. All right? It's known by different names. It's the same place. It's the Sea of Galilee. Christ is teaching. He's preaching. Thousands gather to hear him. He then goes to who? Verse 3. He enters into one of the ships, plural, which was Simon Peter's, and he prayed him and asked him that he would thrust out a little. Peter, do you mind if I get in the boat, and could you just thrust me out a little bit so I'm in shallow water, and that way everybody can see and hear me. My voice carries great on water as well. Thrust out a little, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Many of you know this story, verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, so he finishes the message, people leave, they're going home. He said unto Simon Peter, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught for a great catch. And Simon answering said to him, Master, we, a bunch of us, we've toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. Does that sound familiar? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, notice there were partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth, from this time on, thou shalt catch men. This is the calling, the permanent calling of a disciple, of an apostle, to follow and forsake. And what did they do? Verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. This was the break. Selling the nets, selling the boats, getting rid of the fishing clothes. That's the old life. Nothing wrong with it, but God's called us. We are following the Lord, and you will not see them fishing again until John 21. Now, as believers, we're in different stages. Some of you, maybe the Lord's only asking you in Luke 5, 3 to thrust out a little bit and walk in faith, and that scares some of you. Just thrust out a little bit. Others of you have been stuck on thrust out a little for way too long. You're still there. It's time to launch into the deep. It is time to launch, and that's scary when you do that. God says, Jesus said, I want you to launch out into the deep. We're going out into the deep waters. We have already done that, and I've tried that, and I have failed. I want you to do it. You know, I don't know where you're at. Some of you, the Lord's just saying, would you just do a little bit and trust me? You don't walk by faith. Everything's calculated. Everything is, you've got to examine the book. That is not living by faith. That is not the Christian life. If everything has to be calculated, every bit of money before you give, every little thing on the calendar to determine if it's going to work, all the children, you're not walking by faith. You do not understand the Christian life in any way. The Lord's saying to some of you, thrust out a little bit. Would you just trust me a little bit? Okay, I can do that one. But don't think he's going to be satisfied with you just thrusting out a little bit. He wants you to take the next step, launch into the deep. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I've got a job. These men had jobs. I've got a family. Peter and others probably had a family. This is livelihood. I'm supposed to take over the family business. This is all we've ever known, Lord. Thrust into the deep. See, from here on out, you're going to catch men. You've been catching fish, and fish are fine. But men are superior. The souls of men and women are far greater than fish. You have a greater task. I want you to follow me. And they forsook all and followed him. Now, they've been following him now for 3-some years, and now we go back to John 21, and now they don't know what to do. Some of you are like this, right? You're high octane. I can't sit still. I've got to do something. And that can get you in trouble. That can get you in great trouble. You don't know how to wait on the Lord. That's hard. God's not in a hurry. I just got to do something. And then you do something to get you in trouble, because that's not what God wants. He said to wait. Peter said, I'm going fishing. We're back here. I can smell the water. I remember the old days. There's the boat. There's the nets. Let's go fishing. Now again, fishing is not a sin. But in this area here, that is not what the Lord has told these men to do. They're apostles. They've been given things to do. They are told to wait for him, and he'll give them more. And Peter, I believe Peter's wrong here. I think Peter says, you know what, guys? I'm going back to fishing. We've got to do something. Let's go. And they, all right, we're in with you. Let's go. Let's do it. Maybe he's intimidating a little bit. You can't say no to Peter. And they go fishing, and the Bible says, they went into a ship immediately, verse 3, and that night they caught nothing. You know, some of you understand that, don't you? For years, my life was not fishing. It was sports and basketball. And you know what? Sports is not a sin. Basketball is not a sin. Now, anything can be, can it? Anything can be a sin. Well, that was my life, and I loved it, and I enjoyed it, and that's what I live for. I can't tell you how many hours and how many times I played basketball at college and full. I mean, oh, my goodness. Lived it, ate it, breathed it. There's nothing wrong with that. But I remember when it came time to make a break from that, or at least to give it to God and surrender it. Say, okay, Lord. Again, God doesn't just give you things and then takes it away and you never use it again. He just wants to use it properly. All right? I remember being broken finally, Christmas break, my sophomore year after being injured. And I said, I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm giving it to the Lord. You know, scared I'm never going to be able to do anything again. Of course, I've played lots of basketball since then. All right? Mission trips with basketball, coaching with basketball, lots of stuff. Youth pastor. But it's never occupied the position of my heart since that night. Before then, I could never have left it. Now, take or leave it. I mean, I don't mind playing ball or shooting. Not near as competitive as I was. It doesn't bother me if I miss a shot or I lose. I enjoy seeing other people play and passing the ball to them. Nothing wrong with it. I can use it for ministry. Still enjoy getting out there. But it is something that was my past. And I've coached since then, and I've gone on trips since then. But it's never been all that I'm doing. Have there been times during the years of ministry where you want to quit? Absolutely. Have there been times where you just say, phooey with this, phooey with youth pastoring, phooey with pastoring, phooey with ministry? Let's just, have there been times, of course, I would be lying if that wasn't true. Anybody be lying? If there had not been times you I sat around and listened to my flesh or the devil and said, why don't you just go into full-time antiquing? Why don't you just travel the country and go to flea markets in the state? You love that. Why don't you? I thought about it. I love auction. I've auctioneered before. I love being an auctioneer. That'd be great, man. Go back down to Lancaster County. But why don't you take over the Boyer Motor Company family business? I could have had that, no problem. Dad would have been thrilled if that's what God wanted. Run the business. It's been in the family for years. No, if I just said, I'm tired of all this stuff. I'm tired. I just want to come to church once or twice a week. That'd be great. No pressure. No. Just come whenever I want. Get there. Maybe I get involved. Maybe I don't. And just be a regular person. Work a job. And others, you're saying, yeah, I'll try that. All right. And just do the own thing. That would be so nice. You know, and you just don't have to worry about this. And it's been tempting. Yes, it comes and goes at times. Anybody tell you that one? But I tell you right now, I know I would be miserable. I know it wouldn't last, whatever pleasure I got out of it. I know that's not what God has for me. And I believe that's right here where these men are at. And Peter, like me, he's a man like me. I'm going back to fishing. Now, I can't say that he's making a full-time decision here. I don't want to get on him too much. God doesn't say a lot about it. But I think on this instant, he was pretty much saying, you know what? I'm going back to what I used to do, what used to bring me the thrill, what used to be all I thought about. I'm going back fishing. And they went fishing. They fished for all night, and they didn't catch a thing. And it was a waste, and it was empty, and they were frustrated and hungry and cold and wet. And the other guys were probably thinking, why do we even listen to him, right? You know how that works. You all know what, I knew it was a bad decision, right? You come in at the end. I knew it was awful. And then there's a man on the shore. Hey, did you catch any fish? No. Hey, you know what? You ought to throw on the other side. You'll catch a bunch. Fine, just do it. And all of a sudden, boom. Hey, that's just like it was 3 years ago. 3.5 years ago. Oh, my goodness. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. Remember, they hadn't seen the Lord for a while. That's Jesus. All his faults. You got to get Peter. I want to be with Jesus. Now, of anybody who would have not jumped in, it should have been Peter. Who denied him? Who was still dealing with that, right? I mean, he did that publicly. Hey, I don't know about anybody else in IBC because there's a bunch of people in here you can't trust. There's a bunch of fickle people in here, but I'm going to tell you right now, IBC may fail you, Lord, but not me. And I'm going to get up at testimony time, and I'm going to broadcast that. Everybody else in this room may fail God and walk, but not this man. I will never leave you. I will die for you. If anybody ought to have been publicly humiliated, if anybody would slink in the back late and slip out early, in case anybody wants to talk to me, all right? I don't want to show my face because the other disciples, Peter, you remember what you said? It should have been Peter. Oh, the Lord. Now, the Lord has appeared privately already to Peter if you go back and read the Gospels, but Peter says, doesn't matter. I want to be with the Lord. I mean, he gets in. He starts getting in there. He swims. He hits the ground. He starts walking. It's hard to run in water. You've done that at the ocean, right? Can't go very fast. It makes you look weird. He gets in there. I don't know what happened. He got in. The other guys start coming. They come in there. But they're all a little bit timid. They haven't been around the Lord a whole lot. No one's asking, is that the Lord? I'm pretty sure it's the Lord. It has to be the Lord. All right? Let's go eat. But it's not like the old days. Everybody, it's not like the old days. They're eating, and it's a little bit awkward, and they're not looking at one another, and they're avoiding Peter, and Peter's not. And the Lord says, come and eat, fellas. Come and eat. And there's quietness. There's awkwardness. There's expectation. Who's going to say anything? And you know what? The Lord takes the initiative, doesn't he? We're not going to read the whole bitch of this, but just verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus, I mean, this you want to talk about? I mean, it's bad enough today. Just teens and others, you know, put them in a group. No one talks. Put away the phones. Put away the phones. Look at each other. Say hi, hi. Ask them questions. How's the weather? What do you think of Joe Biden? All right, you know, it's getting hard. People don't know how to talk anymore. They don't have any social skills. All right, no one's really talking here. They're all feeling a little bit awkward. I mean, after all, they all forsook him, didn't they? After all, none of them believed, though repeated times. I mean, they're sort of glad to see him, but then the way they're, what are we supposed to do? What are we going to bring up? Hey, Lord, sorry about what happened in the garden. Sorry we didn't believe the ladies. Sorry we went fishing. And the Lord speaks out loud to Peter. Whoa, Simon, son of Jonas. Lovest thou me more than these? Whoa, don't ask that question. Peter, do you really love me more than all the rest of these guys? Some of you wouldn't even be looking up.
Did he really say that?
Peter, now last time we were all together, you said basically you love me more than all the rest of these men. Do you love me more than him? Lord, you know, you know I do. You know. You can read the story. No, do you love me more than all of these? Lord, what are you doing this for? Because you know what? Public sin needs public restoration. This wasn't private. Thing done in private, been him. This is we need to be restored publicly here. All right? And he asked him that three times, feed my sheep. He asked him a third time, do you really love me? Verse 17. Lord, why do you keep asking this? I'm paraphrasing quickly here. Lord, you know I love you. Would you stop? Okay, I love you. And the Lord says, feed my sheep. Now we're going to finish with verse 18, really. He said, Pastor Porter, what's the point here? We're going to bring a home application before we wrap it up. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, he's talking to Peter. Peter, when you were young, thou girdest or dressed thyself, and you walkest whither thou wouldest. You did whatever you wanted. When you were younger, Peter, you ran things. You wore what you wanted to wear. You fished where you wanted to fish. You went where you... And you're an outgoing, strong personality, Peter. And that's what you always used to do. But when thou shalt be old, notice that, you are going to live a long life, Peter. I'm not done with you. And when you're going to be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Many believe that's a prophecy to how he would be crucified, which is what church history tells us, that he was crucified. And they did stretch out his hands, and they did nail him to a cross. But notice what he's saying. Peter, I am restoring you publicly. Hang in there, it's fine. I'm restoring you publicly. You are forgiven. That is in the past. I am not done with you yet. You are going to serve me for many years, and you are going to die a martyr's death, but you will be faithful, Peter. Now, Peter, I want you, look what he says in verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he looked at Peter, and I believe Peter looked at him, and there probably was great silence. He said, follow me. Just like I said years ago, follow me. Peter, I want you to follow me. I do not want you to go back fishing. You're to follow me. I called you to be fishers of men, Peter. You've got the keys. You're going to open the gospel to the Jews at Pentecost. You don't even know that. To the Samaritans, to Cornelius and the Gentiles. Peter, you're going to die a martyr's death. You're going to write two books of the Bible, Peter. Peter, you're going to be a pastor and a faithful man, and you're going to no longer be a coward. You're going to be bold. I've got plans for you, Peter, and you're forgiven, Peter. Now follow me. Now, Peter has to get this in, and this is somewhat humorous. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said, Lord, and what shall this man do? Right? Isn't that what you and I like to do? Well, what about him? Lord says, Rick, follow me. Yeah, well, what about Sal? David, follow me. Well, what about those guys? What about you have for them? Don't worry about those guys. You follow me. Yeah, I know, but I want to know about them. And Peter, sort of being a Peter, right? The Lord says, you know what? Verse 22, if I will that he tarry till I come. If it's my will that he never dies, so be it. But how about you follow me? Say, okay, Pastor Boyd, nice story. What's the point? Hey, here's the point. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, most believers get up for that. Boy, they're excited. They're charged. They're here. They're ready to go. Serve our Lord and Savior. Woo-hoo-hoo. And here we are. It's the next Sunday. And then there's another Sunday. And then there's life. Ugh. I thought it was going to be different. How come I still struggle? Well, I mean, I thought you get saved, it's just woo. Well, I mean, it doesn't mean it can't be. Your Lord is risen. You have the Holy Spirit permanently indwelling you. You have a comforter. You have a guide. You have a teacher. You have a convictor. We have the entire Word of God. We have the hope of heaven. We have the church that God has given. We've got so much stuff, but yet, yes, we carry sin still there, the old man, the flesh. Yes, the world is actively trying to conform. And yes, the devil is alive and well and all the prince and powers of darkness. And for many times, salvation is really the easy part. I say that gently. Not easy for our Savior, but for us, it's free. It's a free gift. I'm not saying it's easy for everybody to receive it. I'm not saying everybody receives it right away. I'm not saying it makes sense to everybody, but salvation is just by faith. I'll take and receive that free gift. I know that I must praise the Lord. Wow, that was great. But shouldn't that be the rest of everything else be that easy? Well, not necessarily if you know the Scriptures. Follow me, sanctification, holiness, separation, discipleship, carrying the cross, denying yourself. Whoa, I didn't think it would be like this. It is. Doesn't mean you can't live in victory. Doesn't mean that you can't carry the cross God has for you. Doesn't mean you can't prosper. Doesn't mean sin has to win. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've been saved, He doesn't say go back to the old lifestyle. He doesn't say go back to those kind of things. You will not find enjoyment in those things. It might be real temporary, but it will not satisfy. You are going to come up empty again and again. And if you keep going back thinking you're going to catch fish the next day, it's not happening. It's not happening. Now, these men had a calling, and you may not be called in the full-time ministry. You may be, though. You may be running from it. You may be called to preach, and you're scared. You may be called to forsake your job and your family and take your family and go to Bible college and to leave everything and to go into the ministry. God may be calling. You might be scared to death. And you say, I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. It's going to come up empty. It's not going to satisfy. It's not going to be what you think it's going to be if God has something else for you. I still battle the music. I thought the old music I wouldn't enjoy anymore. I still don't even read my Bible that much. I still like a lot of the old friends and the old movies. I still like, I wouldn't have to deal with that stuff. Read the Scriptures. Understand what the Lord says. Understand now you do not have to yield to those things. You have the ability through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to not give in to those things. You can live the victorious Christian life. You can live a life that is not in vain. These men toiled all night and they came up empty. They said, that was wasted. And you know what you'll find? I'm afraid there's too many believers one day. They're going to be in heaven. Praise God. It was because of His amazing grace. But they're going to be standing empty. And they're going to look back and say, I don't know, we just sort of wasted everything. Hey, if God's called you to be whatever job it is, then great. You serve Him with everything you've got in that job. You don't have to be empty. It doesn't have to be empty and nothing. I'm afraid many of us have. That famous message, there's a song, but it's based off a famous message from a black preacher. Maybe you've listened to it. It's Friday! Oh, but Sunday's coming. If you've never listened to it, you ought to listen to it. What was his name? Reverend Lockridge, I think. I remember you should listen to some of him at Preacher Boys. Oh, it's Friday, he had famous boys. But they didn't know Sunday's coming. I better stop, all right? Oh, Sunday's coming. I guess the message title, if I have one, is this. Hey, folks, it's Sunday. It's Sunday, but the Lord's coming soon. Oh, it's Sunday today, but He's coming soon. So guess what? Follow me. Follow Him as a dentist, if you're a dentist. Follow Him as a truck driver. Follow Him as a student. Follow Him as a retiree. But He said, follow me. He's got a task. The mission of the church should be the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad tonight we're going to fulfill some of that mission? Go into all the world and preach and proclaim the gospel. Baptizing those who believe in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's part of what He left us to do, and we're able to do that tonight. These are folks that have trusted Christ. They've been rescued from sin. They've experienced the grace of God. They're taking the next step. They're going to be scared. Taylor's going to be scared, all right? They're going to be nervous. I'm up front here. I'm going to share my testimony, and I get in some water, and I don't know everybody. And many of you, you don't even know the five that are getting baptized, some of you. Some of you don't even know their names. You need to be here tonight. I can't imagine a believer who could be here tonight not coming to the baptismal service of seeing five who are saved follow the Lord and believers' baptism as the Lord commanded. Wow! What a privilege to see that. to know the work of the Lord is going on, and then to come up and encourage them in their walk with the Lord, say, I'm praying for you, praise God, and give them some counsel and advice. I hope that you'll be here tonight. It's Sunday, folks. It is Sunday, but Christ is coming. Why do you and I sometimes just stand around gazing? Oh, Lord, come back, get us out of this mess. I've left you a task. You think it's a mess? What do you think it was like back then? You sure you don't? You want to switch right now the current administration with the Roman administration? You sure? We could try that. You sure you want to be the early Christian church under Rome? You sure? You want to crank that up there a little bit? All right. Are you sure? Be careful what you ask for. All right. Are you sure that it would have been easier back then? Christ is coming. It could be today. It could be next week. We've got services planned. I hope you'll be here. I'm excited about it. But I know one thing. If you're saved, He's given all of us a mission. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Question is, will you follow Him? There's struggles, there's disappointments, there's defeats, there's failures. Get up. Get forgiven. Get in the book. Get following the Lord. Don't worry about everybody else. Keep your eyes on Him and follow our Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, every word of Scripture is inspired. Every story is there for a reason. Lord, the only story we have of this incident is in the Gospel of John. It's not in Matthew, it's not in Mark, and it's not in Luke, but Lord, You put that, You inspired it in the book of John, Lord, to show the restoration of Peter who denied You, who failed miserably and wept bitterly. But Lord, he was forgiven. He was restored, and You had a job and a purpose for him. And Lord, we never have a record of Peter fishing again. Lord, he went on to become one of the early leaders of the church, that great preacher who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that one who was bold and even arrested and about to be killed in the prison. Lord, that one who was able to introduce the gospel to the Gentiles, to many of the Samaritans, the one who wrote the two books of the general epistles. And then, Lord, as church history dictates, we believe that he was arrested, nailed to a cross. Perhaps, as tradition says, upside down. For he was not worthy to die in the same fashion as his Savior. Oh, that Peter who failed so many times, Lord. We often laugh at him. All the things he said and did that were wrong. But Lord, he followed You. He followed You to the cross. Now, Lord, I pray today all believers would follow You. Oh, Lord, there's hard times. You said there'd be tribulations. Lord, there's going to be persecutions. There's going to be loneliness. There's going to be abandonment. Lord, there's going to be times where we're depressed and discouraged. Now, Lord, we need to keep our eyes on You. We need to make sure it's not sin. We need to make sure it's not our short failings. We need to make sure we're in walking with You. But, Lord, those things happen. People let us down. Friends let us down. We get hurt. But, Lord, You've given us a mission until You come. Lord, we're to hold the fort. We're to share the gospel. We're to get excited. We're to finish the work. Lord, until we can no longer do it, our health leaves us. We're to pray. We're to encourage. We're to do everything we can until You come again, for it may be today. Now, Lord, I pray that You'd help me, help this church to not quit, to not give up from following You, to not worry about all the other churches, to not look at all the numbers or this or that, to not boast or be bragging, Lord, but this is the church You have. May we be everything we can be. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in our midst or watching that is not a child of God, oh, Lord, they would not delay the most important decision to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive forgiveness of sins, and to be part of Your family. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No piano today. Appreciate the pianist being up here. We'll not have any music. Just the silence of the auditorium. What is God calling you to do? Yes, He says, follow Me to all of His children, but perhaps specifically, He's been telling you to follow Him in this area and you've been delaying. Maybe it's thrust out a little bit and you're scared. Maybe it's launched into the deep. Whoa, I don't know about that one. Maybe it's cast a net on the right side. Ah, we already tried that. I don't know what the Lord is having for you, but maybe He's tugging. Maybe He's pushing. Maybe He's convicting. Maybe you're burdened. Would you trust Him by faith? Would you let go of your sight? Would you let go of what you're holding on to and say, God, but it's scary letting go. But that's called faith. Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. I don't know what it may be. Lord, we're willing to special services. I don't know what you have me to do, Lord, but I'm willing. Maybe right now you're exactly in God's will. Praise God. Keep on going. Don't get proud. Don't get cocky. Don't get critical. Keep your head and eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how the Lord may have applied the message today, but if God's convicted your heart in any area, maybe you need to confess some sins. It's holding you back. It's bogging you down. Right now, your life is absolutely empty when it comes spiritually. You're holding an empty bag. As the prophet says, you're putting everything in the bag and nothing's in it. It got holes in the bag. It's coming up empty. You're like, what's going on? All this stuff, all my effort. There's nothing there. Nothing of eternal value. If you're here today and you need to put Christ first, you need to surrender, you need to follow Him, you need to be saved, I pray you'll do that in the quietness of the room. If God has spoken to you, we'll not have any coming to the front necessarily unless God works, but if God has spoken to you, maybe in a still small voice, in any area, God's used the sermon to draw you closer to Him and bring you in deeper love, deeper conviction, deeper faith. Would you just simply raise your hand without anyone looking? Yes, God used the message. Write it right back down. Not so I can get proud and say, woo. It helps me know that I preached what God wanted me to preach and God used that message. Pastor, God spoke to me today. I needed that. Might have been one little thing, might have been a big thing. God spoke to my heart. If you're here today and you need the Lord Jesus Christ, please come through the line, say, could I see you, Pastor? Could I see you in the office, your wife? And I have some questions. We'd be glad to answer them. Be glad to come to your house for a personal visit. Answer any questions. Show the gospel. We'd love to do that. Please don't delay. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, I'm so thankful that you forgive us when we sin. I'm so thankful, Lord, that when we received you as Savior, all of our sins were forgiven. The whole body of sin, nailed to the cross, paid by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, the fact of the matter is we still have an old nature, still have a flesh. There's still temptations and struggles. There's failures. Lord, may failures not cause anyone in here to give up on God. Oh, God, you've given us your word. You've given us the local church. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You have given us so much, Lord, that we can live the Christian life and have the abundant life through Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, let us have excitement for the things of God. Let us have excitement about the baptisms. Let us have excitement about visitors and special services. Let us have excitement about, Lord, the opportunity to see people saved and the church strengthened and have an evangelist and his wife that we can encourage and be a blessing to. Lord, I pray there be an excitement and a fire that spreads even throughout this week starting today. Tonight. Lord, we love you. What a privilege to gather together as believers in this local assembly the week after Resurrection Sunday. Lord, may every Sunday, may every day be a day walking with you in light of your soon return. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the victory in Jesus Christ. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.